Welcome to the Inglorious Geeks Podcast. Today's date is June 19th, and this is episode 3. I am your host, Jason Barton, with my co-hosts,
April Mitchell,
and Chris Scott.
And we're going to be talking about some things tonight in regards to Blizzard's new Legion beta changes, some Harry Potter stuff, as well as E3. I guess I'll go ahead and start off with Blizzard's new beta changes from this week. Thanks, devs.
Yay!
Okay, anyways, I'll try to make this less brutal as possible. Alright, so some cool things that they've released now. Personal loot can now be traded to other eligible players, meaning that if you do heroics all that, you could actually give your personal loot to people. Raids, I'm guessing, too. So, that is actually pretty awesome. So, if the other plate wearers in your party don't have as good of gear, and maybe you get that, or maybe you get a duplicate, because I've gotten several pieces of trinkets and shit that I don't need anymore, then, great. You can just pass it off to somebody else who does not have it. I think it is a fantastic idea. They are also increasing the healer DPS, making leveling faster. So, holy priests, huzzah for you!
Huzzah!
Huzzah, because they can actually level faster. I mean, it's not going to be as fast as, like, the Shadow Priest, but it's still going to be up there. So, yay for leveling and not having to sit there forever. Oh, and I think they're also doing some DPS increases for tanks, so huzzah for you tanks. But they mentioned that it's more about survivability, so you can pull more shit, so you can kill more shit, so that you'll level faster in that regards. So, we'll see how that goes.
So they're turning it into WoW 5.0, then?
Well, they've always tried to improve this game. talents can be freely changed. So,
Thank God.
Getting ready to go into whatever, they were going to not cost anything at the beginning, so being able to just change at your will. I'm guessing, I don't know if they're still going to require, like, some sort of item or something to actually, as used to change, like they currently do with some of the stuff.
Like vanishing powder or whatnot?
Yeah, I imagine they're probably just going to do away with all that, because it's just a pain just to keep all that crap in your bags. Or you have to grade out your mount so that you can go buy some more, so then you can freely change shit. So, pre-patch will be a number of weeks before Legion releases. It's already live in beta and PTR, I think. So, so expect the pre-patch to come out probably early August.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so we'll see whatever that is.
Extended load times.
Well, no, it's just pre-patch, so, it's kind of like prepping or whatever. I don't know if it's going to be as cool as the Lich King one, where people could actually die in the auction house, where they could release the, what was that? It was like a disease, and then, like, if you died, it passed on to the other people. And people were bringing their hunter pets, because they figured out that they could put it on their pets, and then pour in, and then the pets would keep it, so then they could spread it with the pet. It was crazy, and people were dying. Anyways, I don't think we'll have that again, because they probably learned from that. there were people who were actually interested in studying the effects of that, from disease spreading and all that.
Oh my god.
Anyways, daily quests and dungeons will have Warforged, Titanforged, and Legend item drops possible, making all of our, which this is getting back to last week's, where they said that they were going to make dungeons more relevant. So you have a chance of dropping gear in your dungeons. I think I saw something about even mythic level. So, I have that in my notes somewhere, I think. Anyways, so you could possibly get a mythic level item just from doing heroics and regulars. For PvP gear, your stats are still going to be normalized, which is what they keep constantly doing, because they want to try to get people to not hate PvP, because, like, before, like, at the early game, you had to pretty much grind the PvP gear, and you had to deal with the other people who had really good PvP gear. So they've normalized the stats, so you don't have to really worry about that as much going in brand new. So I imagine you still probably have to have decent eye level gear, so, because that'll still scale. But yeah, so if you're a raider, you can just kind of jump in. Their goal is to encourage players to give it a try when they didn't have the time to invest gear, or from bad experiences being undergeared. That was part of the PvP notes. Legendaries can come from world quests, dungeon bosses, raid bosses, and PvP strongholds or strongboxes, which is pretty awesome. So there's going to be more legendaries than just your weapon right now. The only thing is, they're going to require, there's going to be they're going to limit you to one legendary item per player. So you can only equip one legendary. So you have to unequip one, because they don't want to, like, cause, like, I could just equip all legendaries! I am Uber! Yeah, no, that would kind of be overpowering. Oh, and they will be having bad luck protection for the legendaries, raising the chances of the drop the longer you go without getting a drop. So, which we've kind of guessed in the past for certain types of things, and I kind of think that they did that with just a standard raiding gear. So if you went into like the raid level gear, dungeoning and whatever, and you had low level eye level, I think they increased the drop rate for you. But that was just my guess, because it seemed like whenever we brought people into our raiding, you'd always get a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so alt replayability changes due to different storylines. So when you do your legendary quests in the main story like that, it's going to be different for every single player, for every single talent spec that you do it in. Or not player, but class. So you're going to have like a different storyline arc for every single person for everything. So like it'll be different. At least that's what it sounded like. So I think that'll be kind of cool. Maybe not per maybe it's just per class, but because maybe for your alts you're not going to pick the same person. I mean, unless you like really like warriors. Anyways, okay, so yeah, capping the one equipped legendary to help prevent distorting overall progression race. That's what I was talking about earlier. Artifact knowledge. Not going to be account-wide, which kind of made sense, because that would kind of be silly to go on any character. So if you kept leveling, well, it wouldn't be silly. It'd be great if they did that, so you only have to focus on one character and level. Each week, the speed to acquire artifact knowledge will increase, meaning the people who come back a little bit later will be able to catch up to you faster. To whatever level you're at currently. Should be easy to keep your off-spec weapon at 80% of where your main-spec weapon is right now. So that's great, because I would like to keep my alt off-spec kind of at least up there with the rest of it. So weekly events taking a month break for when Legion drops, so people don't feel like they should be focusing on them. So those weekly events, like, you know, going back and doing the old dungeons and all that kind of crap, and, like, the Apex, well, I don't think they're going to have Apex crystal drops, but whatever it is.
Stranglehorn? Do you think they're going to hold that?
Well, they were doing bonus rep. Like, if you would gain 50% extra rep and all that from doing the quest.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So they'll change it out for this, which I think is a great idea. They're going to do another DPS squish, most likely coming in this expansion. So expect more DPS, like, those numbers to go down again. So, as we always expect, because bigger numbers are bad. So, anyways, a small chance of getting a mythic level rating item from normal and heroic level dungeons. I talked about this earlier. I should have probably canceled these. Anyways, so yeah, I'm really excited about that. So I think it's going to be great. It kind of gives you the feeling that you could go back and help out a friend and still get a perk from actually helping out people who are lower than you, or just in general, like doing like daily quests and all that, and then possibly getting something. Like if they still do the valor thing, because like right now the perk is if you do like the dungeons, you'll get valor, which then you can use to upgrade your items. So, flying will be unlocked midway through Legion, so that's good. Of course, it's not going to be right up front, because they want people to not have to, you know, they want you to experience it from the ground level, as opposed to, like, cheating your way. I feel it's, like, cheating, but because you're flying from zone to zone to wherever, avoiding all the mobs in between and not having that headache.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. And our current legendary ring procs and passives will, of course, diminish as we get closer to level 110, which is expected, because that's what happens with every legendary we get.
110!
So, probably once you reach one level 10, you're going to get some blue that's going to probably either be overpowered, or it's probably going to be a blue that'll probably replace it. You're not going to have any greens, hopefully, replacing your legendary.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. Or you get your main legendary, so you're not going to really better, so. Okay. I will say, that might... They might completely just not let you do that, because if they are doing the one legendary per slot, then you're going to have your main weapon, so assuming that that's going to be how you play. So, and my last note, it's not about Legion. They've come out with this new one-click Blizzard Authenticator, making authenticating easier, which I think is pretty fantastic, because being able to click a button that on your phone and it just automatically logs you into the game as authenticated is a great idea. So... Anyways, that's all I've got for Blizzard. So I'll go ahead and hand the reins over to April.
Hello, everyone. I found out that there are some magical things happening in the wizarding world of Harry Potter these days. Firstly, I have discovered that there is a fantastic movie coming out on November 18th called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Apparently, it is going to be the first movie in a trilogy. I can give you a brief synopsis real fast, see if it's something you might be interested in. Mind you, it's pre-Harry Potter days. Very pre-Harry Potter days.
Like 1940s Harry Potter?
1926 Harry Potter days.
Ooh.
So what's going on is in 1926, Newt Scamander, he arrives at the Magical Congress of the United States of America that looks like it's Makusa or something of that nature. You know, haven't seen it, don't know how they pronounce it yet. So for a meeting with an important official, which they didn't specify. At this meeting is a magically expanded briefcase which houses a number of dangerous creatures and their habitats. When the creatures from the briefcase escape, it sends the American Wizarding Authorities after Newt. You know, he brought the briefcase, his fault.
Briefcase of holding.
And threatens to strain and even further the state of magical and non-magical relations, which we have all known from watching and reading Harry Potter. It's already strained.
No.
Gee, I wonder why. But the mistake has devastating effects on the state of the wizarding and nomage, as they call it. It's the American term for a non-magical person, also we know what they call muggle. Relations in New York City's community of wizards and witches, which is already in a dangerous place due to the threatening presence of the fantastical New Salem Philanthropic Society. Say that five times fast.
No thanks.
An extremist organization is dedicated to the eradication of the wizard kind. Anybody getting historical flashbacks? Newt battles to correct the mistake, and the horrors of the resultant increase in violence, fear, and tension felt between magical and non-magical peoples. Ooh.
Bum, bum, bum.
I know where I'm going to be for the month of November. How about you?
We'll probably celebrate Thanksgiving.
And then some magical beasts. You know, I have a family member who they used to, every year on Thanksgiving, go to the movies. It was their tradition.
Just as a quick sidebar, has anybody else gone seen a movie on a holiday? Jason?
Well, I think we went on New Year's Day once, maybe. But I can't remember what it was for.
I remember I had one instance where I went to see Resident Evil, the first one, on Easter Day.
Showing your age.
Thanks, April.
Hey, anytime. That's what you got me for.
So what else you got in the
magical
world?
Also in the magical world of Harry Potter, which is coming up even sooner than November, thank God. Though some of you may have heard the rumors that J.K. Rowling is going to be releasing a new book on July 31st. Yes, Harry Potter's birthday. Yes, it was on purpose. What it is, for some who have been speculating, no, it is not a novel. Not a straight-up novel like the other ones have been. I watched an interview where J.K. Rowling has said this herself. It is actually going to be a book that's the script of the play that's going on in London of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. What it is it's 19 years after the end of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. The story starts on his 36th birthday, which is July 31st, 2016.
Sneaky, sneaky.
It is a two-part, but both parts are being published in this book, which I actually don't mind script books. I've read many script books. One of my first paperback books when I was a kid was the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory script.
April, what's the difference between a regular book and a script book? I honestly have no clue.
It's pretty much like if you were going to be in a play or a movie, you're reading the script.
Ah, okay.
And, so pretty much the basis of this book, I'm just going to read you what I found on the internet, because it's pretty much what everything I've read, listened to, and watched have all said the same. Something about how it was always difficult being Harry Potter, and it isn't much easier now that he is an overworked employee of the Ministry of Magic, a husband, and a father of three school-aged children, who are, of course, going to Hogwarts. While Harry grapples with a past that refuses to stay where it belongs, and his youngest son, Albus, must struggle with the weight of a family legacy he never wanted. As past and present fuse ominously, Both father and son learn the uncomfortable truth. Sometimes darkness comes from unexpected places.
Oh, boy.
Just gives me shivers reading it. I'm excited. I don't know about you all, but I plan on pre-ordering my book here in the near future. I actually have some prices for those who are interested. If you want to order it from BarnesandNoble.com, $17.99. They are having a book release party on July 31st. Not exactly sure what time it starts. You might want to call the most local Barnes & Noble to you and find out, but they should be able to tell you. It's fun. I've been. Dress up and have fun times. I actually had a friend who used to dress up as Lucius Malfoy. She once had a little boy stomp on her foot and tell her, "You're a very bad man." So it's worth it. So anybody can go, it's definitely worth going, trying dressing up at least once. And then if you are like me and you don't get out much, Amazon has two options. You can either get it for in book form for $17.99. They're not guaranteeing that it's going to be on your doorstep the day of the release, but I'm sure it shouldn't be more than a day or two behind. Kindle, obviously you'll get the same day, $14.99. So pick up yours as soon as possible. I know I am. And then, so that being said, time to move on and take a break from the wizarding world of Harry Potter, and let's let the boy talk about the Electronic Entertainment Expo, of which I've heard nothing about. So take it away, boys.
E3, yes. So this week, for everyone in the know, this time of the year's the E3. You know, we won't call it the full name because almost nobody ever does. No offense, April. But no, E3.
Always taken.
Aww. E3 was this week from Tuesday through Thursday, so it brought lots of videos, lots of very long webcasts of developers and companies saying what they've got on the docket for the next probably 18 months, I would say, is about the best time, I would say.
Yeah.
And Jason and I have been scouring the web, finding these videos, looking for the information, and quite frankly, we're both a little happy of some of the results that we've seen.
Oh yeah, very happy with these games.
I will start with some of the more boring stuff, the hardware bits. Apparently, Microsoft has decided to announce both the Xbox One S, which is supposed to be a slimmer, 40% smaller sized Xbox One.
That's Project Scorpio, by the way.
No, that's actually Xbox One S.
Oh, so what is Scorpio then?
Ah, I'll get to that.
Okay.
So Xbox One S is going to have also support for 4K media, you know, how TVs are becoming 4K now. And then it's going to be smaller and all that. So, of course, it's going to be just like what they did with the 360. But then later in 2017 is, as Jason was starting to say, Project Scorpio is what they're working on. It's supposed to have 4K up to 60 frames per second, VR support. Basically, it looks like to me it's Xbox 1.5 because it's not a full systems upgrade, but it's a massive...
Oh, it is a big update.
I mean, it is a big update, yeah. It is still fundamentally an Xbox One. It's just getting a lot of extra bells and whistles thrown into it. Yeah. So
6 teraflops of GPU power.
Oh, and what was that one little comment that they were saying in the video about pixels?
Oh, yeah, highest quality pixels.
What does that mean? What does that mean, Microsoft? I mean, we love you.
Do you know what a pixel is?
Yes, we love you and all. I mean, high quality pixels? Do you mean that you're going to take the movie Pixels and redo it and make it actually look better?
I think they're talking about those little dots on your screen.
Oh, okay, that.
Yeah, they're just going to gloss them, and they're going to make them glossy, and they're going to coat them and backlight them all really, really well. Oh, wait, that's a display! My bad. That's not a machine.
So, yeah, I'm curious to see what happens with Project Scorpio. I don't know if it's going to be that much of a biggie, because, I mean, unless you're wanting to delve into the VR stuff, if you're wanting to delve into the 4K TVs and all that, is it really going to be something you need? We'll find out. I know they talked more about little revamped to Xbox Live and whatnot, but honestly...
Stability with frame rates is pretty much what I think I see it as.
Yeah.
Which is what they're going to need for the VR, so...
Yeah, other than that, I really didn't hear much in the way of hardware bits. I know they're talking about Nintendo NX.
Oh, I thought it was the N3. Or is it the NX?
It's the N... Well, I read one about the NX, and that's what, you know, one of the... The new Zelda game, which will be announced. God, I can't talk tonight. is going to be released for the Wii U and the Nintendo NX.
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. We'll get talking to that. So, yeah, it looks like the NX is the only other thing that they really briefed on, and I didn't even really listen to much of that or hear much on the NX.
Well, did you want to talk about PlaySonius 4.5, the PlayStation 4.5?
I didn't actually listen to I didn't catch that. That must have missed my radar.
Well, I think they announced it before, so Microsoft wanted to, of course, top them. But anyways, yeah, it was predating, I think, E3. But anyways, it's definitely something interesting because it's like twice the power of the current PS4. However, compared to the 6 teraflops, it's speculated that the PS 4.5 will actually only have 4.14 teraflops. So... I think Microsoft's trying to outdo them, but that's still, that's not set in stone right now, so they could easily try to compete, and they probably will try to bring it up to what Microsoft's doing.
In other words, it's the classic dick measuring contest between the two of them. Yeah. I mean, it's been going on for decades.
Whoever announces first then has to wait to, hear what the other person, and of course, Nintendo usually announces before everybody else, but they aren't usually trying to compete, so.
Yeah, Nintendo is like this, Nintendo is really the sprint of the game system makers, because it's like you've got Verizon and AT&T, which is basically Microsoft and PlayStation, and then you've got Sony, and then it's like the poor little child Nintendo.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but both the consoles are going to have 8-core CPUs running at possibly 2.1 gigahertz. At least that's what Sony has announced for the PS4 0.5 slash possibly Project Neo. Who knows what the name exactly is, but yeah. I'm looking forward to it, but I don't know what the price points of these machines are going to be yet, so because they haven't announced them. They announced the Xbox One Slim prices, though.
I missed that. What are the talking about prices on that?
500 gigabytes is going to be $300, the 1 terabyte is going to be $350, and then 2 terabytes is going to be $400.
That's not too bad, considering you get a lot of the digital content, you're going to want to have it downloaded.
Yeah.
What did you see in the way of games, Jason?
Oh, my gosh. So many games. I mean, I imagine E3 really is meant for the games and then the VR this year.
Yeah.
So, did you want me to just take it from the top of my list?
Take it from the top of your list, yeah. All right. I'll interject where I can.
Okay. We'll start with Electronic Arts, EA. I saw Battlefield 1. Looks decent. Definitely not my cup of tea, though, because it's like an old-style warfare game. Which, I mean, I wouldn't mind playing those games, but, I like the more super awesome, super tanks, high-tech, everything kind of stuff games. So, but, more importantly, what is definitely my cup of tea, speaking of high-quality, super awesome mechs, Titanfall 2. Freaking, oh my god. And grappling hooks? Yes, please. I've gotten into so many situations where I'm on the ground or flying, wall crawling, and I would love to get higher to get up to the next building, and then, I usually, end up getting stuck where I'm at the same level going rocking around, and I would love to get higher. And the fact that you can attach it to mechs, and not only mechs, but other players, so you're both up in the air, you could grapple that guy, bring him to you, and then punch him.
Oh, jeez.
So, it looks like it'll be really interesting for multiplayer.
So, I wonder if they're going to bring in anything, because Titanfall really, you got things that came out in Titanfall that other games, we've discussed this before personally, that have stolen it. Like the wall running that has been taken by... Oh, yeah,
they were the first ones that seemed to have that wall runner.
So I wonder if they're going to come up with anything innovative in Titanfall 2.
What I'd like to see is more wall running. Like, more open areas to wall run. Because you seem to be pretty limited sometimes in certain areas where you could actually wall run.
Right, Black Ops 3 has a lot of wall running spots. There's some level...
It's almost like it's on rails, though. This is the spots you can run still, in those little, multiplayer areas and all that kind of crap. But, oh, and lasers! They're gonna have, like, upgraded, like, mechs, too. So I saw there's this, like, energized laser. It pretty much disintegrated the player while he was in the mech. Like, the mech guy, driving the Titan, just one-shotted the guy. Oh, so, geez. Yeah, and then I saw a couple new abilities from the mechs, which looks pretty cool. So I'm expecting this to be a really good game again. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Titanfall was a good game from the get-go. It lost a little bit of oomph, and then I moved on to Destiny, but I think a lot of people did, but...
Yeah.
And then it does have a great looking single player, just single player
campaign.
Yeah. So, the release date on that's going to be October 28th for Titanfall 2, which you're going to find is probably the release date on a lot of games. I'll just briefly mention Mass Effect Andromeda, another Mass Effect game.
Yeah, but not one in the series. It looks like it's a first-person shooter spin-off or something like that.
Yeah, I really didn't... I watched the video briefly, and I was just like, nah, it's not, it doesn't look too bad. It's definitely just Mass Effect. It's yeah. kind of how I felt. So, moving on to my other...
With EA, actually,
that's right.
There was a whole thing with, like, they had a whole Star Wars video. And thing is, they didn't really announce anything new. There was images and glimpses of something new, but they didn't have a name for it. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do with it, because, I mean, Old Republic was decent to start, but, I mean, it's kind of sitting on life support, I feel. I don't hear many people talking about Old Republic.
Yeah, I guess weren't they also responsible for the online one that kind of flopped? Well, it didn't really flop, but, like, I remember playing it for a little while. Yeah. That's
the Old Republic.
Yeah, the Old Republic. And I liked it. I mean, it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. And if you like Star Wars and you like having to pick your destiny, because you always had to, like, just like other games, like it, you just like picking light to dark side.
Yeah, like Fable. Yeah. Like, literal good and evil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Fable. Mm-hmm. And you have to pick your...
Yeah,
your,
I mean, I remember that went good or light from side. Paid subscription to free-to-play in about 13 months, and I thought that was ridiculous. That was a sign of the times. If you go free-to-play within a year... You got some issues.
It was supposed to be a WoW killer, and...
It killed itself.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Battlefront, I've heard more DLC. I'm curious to see what they decide to come up with. I mean, if they could get back to something that's more Star Wars Galaxies without the excessive amount of grinding it used to do. I used to love Star Wars Galaxies. It's the first, mm-hmm. That first attempt at... doing a MMORPG.
Yeah, I also felt that they rushed on the Old Republic just because, like, some of the stuff just wasn't there yet.
Right,
like, some of the raid mechanics and all that. Like, it was there, but it just wasn't strong.
I hear you there.
So, if you're done with the EA, I'll move to Bethesda.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bethesda. Yeah, buddy. They are freaking fantastic. I'll start out with Skyrim Special Edition.
Yeah, now that looks fancy.
Remastered.
I looked at that video, and I was like, you know what? I could get used to this. This looks actually fancy. Yeah.
For all you people who love Skyrim, they're bringing it back with better graphics and lighting. So, it's going to be released for PC, Xbox One, and PS4. And you get a free upgrade for PC people if you already have the game and all its add-ons, or you have the own the legendary version of it.
And not to mention that, the one big thing they talked about with the... Remastered Edition for console owners, you actually get access to the mods.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. Because, well, I mean, although it is kind of bringing it a little late. They're probably it's because they're doing cross for Fallout 4, so mm-hmm. they probably have the kits for it, so it's super easy for them to port, because I'm guessing it's the same game engine for the... I would have to say it's the same game engine.
Not to mention the fact that, you know, I think they're doing all this with Skyrim, because they did announce, they did confirm they're working on a Skyrim, an Elder Scrolls 6, but they said it is, quote, a long way off. What is that? 24 months? 5 years? You know?
Probably the end of Fallout 4 DLC.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think they're just trying to keep us, they're keeping us entertained, because they know that, they know that Skyrim was probably better than they even expected it to go, because, I mean, it is just, you know, how many times have you heard an arrow to the knee joke, you know, that first 12 months the game came out? I mean,
Yeah. But the modding is what kept it alive.
Exactly.
So, which is why they're bringing it back. So,
you betcha.
For consoles. And, you know, if you can get people to buy the games for consoles, that's just more revenue. Yeah. Which, hey, more power to Bethesda. I think you should keep going.
There you go. Chugging on. What else did you hear from Bethesda?
Release date on that, October 28th.
Oh, yeah.
So, once again. Anyways, moving on to my favorite Bethesda game, Fallout 4. So, they've announced that they're going to be releasing VR for the HTC Vive, which, if any of you are familiar with, yeah, it's you know, a little pricey, considering I think it was, what, did I say $799? Yeah, $799. And not only that, you have to you don't have to have a pretty beefy machine, but you need a decent beefy machine to run this thing. So, although I just kind of... So the guy who was testing it pretty much spent like $1,500 on his machine, and then you have to drop another $800 on the actual, you know, So about $2,300 to actually play the thing. I don't know. But anyway, so if you have the money and you want to experience Fallout 4 in its virtual state, which, you know, the thing is they really do need to have these kind of games like Fallout 4 come to VR and do it well to actually have a good experience, and that's what's going to help VR.
Right.
So, on another note, Vault Tech expansion. You will now be able to build a vault.
Oh boy!
In Fallout 4. Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that is pretty fantastic. I think it's awesome.
So you now have Fallout Shelter, the console game.
Yeah. 3D. Another DLC, Nuka World, theme park. I really didn't look too much into it, but it looked like a theme park, so it's going to be kind of cool. I wonder how they'll, like, if they'll just designate, like, certain zones for that or whatever, because I don't think you're going to be able to make a whole entire town in a Nuka World. Or if they just give you a special section or something like that. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait to
see. Probably some part of the wilderness that's just like, okay, where can we throw in something completely random? Right there.
Yeah. As soon as I get it, I will totally let you know, because I will be playing that. I want to make a brief mention of Dishonored 2. I've played Dishonored briefly, and I've seen a lot of previews for Dishonored 2, and it looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very gory and, you know, not for your kids kind of game, but it looks pretty neat. I will probably wait until it comes down in price, of course, to buy it, because it's not going to be the top of my list, although Bethesda does great games. And another Bethesda game, Quake Champions!
Oh,
they're bringing back Quake!
Ugh.
Yeah, pretty much Quake. The preview looked like Quake. It looked like everybody had better guns, better resolution, and better abilities. And that was pretty much it.
So, in other words, 1993 is coming back with a vengeance.
So, if only they could bring Trent Reznor to do the, like, you know, the soundtrack for it, that would be great. I don't know. So, I'm on the fence about Quake Champions. I think they're just trying to push out another game since they have the engine to do so. Yeah, it's just like, hey, why not? Let's go throw this out there.
You know, at this point, let's just make the Duke Nukem game/movie.
But they have
done with it.
Yeah. Well, they have many years to build off of the Quake experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, people who like Quake, kind of flashback, if it's exactly like that and you like that, bring on your friends, have fun.
Yeah,
bring a LAN party.
Yep.
Everybody bring your computers over.
LAN party.
Bring some Quake champions to this LAN party, guys.
Yep.
That's all I had for Bethesda. Do you have anything?
No, actually, yeah, that pretty much Skyrim and the whole bit about Elder Scrolls 6 was really all that I had about Bethesda.
Okay. We'll move on to Microsoft. So, we talked a little bit briefly about did we talk about Project VR yet?
No, I didn't talk about Project VR.
I don't really have too many notes about it. It's just Microsoft's VR, of course, which, were they coupling with Oculus on some of their stuff too, though?
I didn't catch that.
I saw something about, under VR, it said Oculus VR partnering with Xbox. So I wonder if they'll be also bringing games to the Xbox, and then Project VR. I don't know, because they've got the HoloLens too.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how this is all going to work in, because I imagine they would probably want to make that part of their gaming console, like, games, but... I guess I'll have to do a little more research on that, but at this point, VR is pretty new, I am not going to be investing in VR for a little while until I see an actual winner arise from these, because there's, like, what, 4 VR, 5 VRs right now?
Yeah, I know there's the HTC.
The HTC, you got the HoloLens, you've got the PSVR, PlayStation VR,
And then you also have the Samsung Gear VR, which...
Yeah.
That will be for another podcast, but... Yeah, that's something that I am now fiddling around with due to getting an upgraded phone. I got the VR, the Samsung VR for free, which means I'm looking like a complete moron with my head going in about 17 different directions, like, ooh, look at that, ooh, look at that, but that's for another podcast, so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there were a couple of interesting VR announcements. I know they released a Batman Arkham VR game announcement, as is, and we both watched the video for this one, Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Oh,
one.
That kind of looked cool.
That did look cool. Now, I have a feeling that's going to be for, like, the HTC or something like that. So.
Yeah, the downside that I saw was all four players have to have the VR,
mm-hmm.
and I saw it for the HTC Vive,
yep.
and that means that you're probably going to have to drop $2,300 times four
yeah.
to have everybody in the house playing this virtual reality.
Yeah, so. Which, you know, it makes me sad because... Yeah, that would be something I would want to do.
A little price of, like, almost a new car.
Yeah, seriously.
Play VR. Mm. Well, I mean, these prices will come down, though.
Exactly.
Once they actually,
you know, VR's still new, so...
Well, they have to make it expensive because there's not as big of a following right now, so...
Exactly.
To afford this. Did you want to just talk about more VRs right now, since we're kind of already on the topic?
That's all I really had was just... I didn't really get much in the way of detail on much of it. I mean, I know I saw the video with the trio of Star Trek... actors that mm-hmm. were in it, but other than that, I really didn't pay too much attention to it because I'm thinking, my feeling is it is still way too early of a tech, so...
But they brought in a lot of VR to E3, so we should probably at least talk, give it a little bit of focus. So,
go for it.
What I have, HTC Vive, as I said, $799 for the actual device, and I saw the preview on Steam, so it looks like Steam's probably going to be a provider of the games for HTC Vive, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
So, PSVR, available in October. I think they're the first ones to actually officially announce a release for it.
You know what? I had something about that. I forget. October 13th. Mm-hmm. is going to be PlayStation VR. They are announcing 50 titles at launch. They will say 50 titles are available at launch, and two of the future projects that they're working on is the Batman Arkham VR and Star Wars Battlefront X-Wing VR, which I hope that comes out for one of the other platforms, because quite frankly, I love piloting an X-Wing. That's me.
Yeah, on a note about that, they're the forefront then for the VR for console, which can be a good or a bad thing because they're bringing it to the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that frame rate stability, so you can actually suffer from like sickness if you do not reach the FPS of like frames per second FPS of 90, so which is generally recommended for these games, which is why a lot of game developers and all that have been waiting and holding off mm-hmm. on this and been pretty much just porting it to PC because they know that PCs can handle that.
Right.
So if you can't have a decent frame rate with these games, people are going to start getting sick and people are just going to associate that with the actual virtual reality
mm-hmm.
and they're just be like, I can't handle VR because it made me sick the last time I tried it. Well,
exactly.
That's because the game console didn't support it. And I think PlayStation should have held off until PlayStation 4.5
right.
and then released it with that. But
so I'm willing to bet you Microsoft's going to throw that in with the Project Scorpio bit for their VR. I would be more than willing
yeah.
to bet on that one.
And the other thing with Project Scorpio, which kind of threw me off was, not threw me off, but kind of annoyed me, was they're buying up titles for exclusivity. So you're only going to be able to play these certain games on, the Xbox One Scorpio VR.
If you remember, Titanfall was originally just an Xbox release, though.
Yeah, so it was Halo.
True, yeah. So, you know what, as much as I used to love exclusivity and, you know, just the one format... You know, nowadays, I do want to be able to have it on whatever platform I like. Because
yeah, if they would have made Fallout 4 only for Xbox, I would have just been so pissed.
Mm-hmm,
like, because
yeah.
if I couldn't have had it on PC. But Bethesda, I would think, would not do that. I mean, you can get Titanfall for PC,
yeah,
so...
Bethesda has class.
Yeah. I mean, I could see them not bringing... Oh, I'm more of a PS4 than an Xbox guy, but I like either machine, so...
All right.
I mean, because I own both of them, so like I can't really pick one or the other. But
right.
I'm more of a PS4. When I buy new games, I buy it for the PS4.
And whereas I personally buy it for the Xbox, because that's more my gig right there.
Yes.
Yes. I have difference of opinion, but we, you know, we can still be in harmony.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like Star Wars.
Just with better frame rates, PS4.
Yeah, anyways. Suck it. Anyhow, did you have any more on VR? Did you?
That's pretty much it for the VR.
All right.
Do you want to go back to my list of where we left off?
Well, I mean, we could probably hit. I mean, we should hit on a couple of more big, you know, bigger titles that we've seen, and then get on to.
Well, we were on Microsoft,
yep.
And then I had Gears of War 4 for Microsoft.
Hmm.
We've played Gears of War, well, I've played Gears of War, the earlier ones, and I really enjoyed them, and I think 4 is going to be a good addition. Didn't look too much better than, like, some of the other games, though, but the perks of Gears of War 4, 4 War will be they're going to have cross-play and cross-buy. Which means that you can buy it and you can play it across probably across your Windows 10, because this is them integrating the Xbox into Windows. So you can buy it for your Windows 10 machine, and then you can buy it for your Xbox One, or just one, and you get it on both, and then you can play it with anybody else who has those.
Huh.
So you could be playing against Windows players, which might suck, if I understand this correct. Because if you have crossplay, that means console versus keyboard, controller versus keyboard, I always feel keyboard wins. I mean, they've done some games in the past and they've allowed it, and
yeah,
people were okay with it, but
it depends on what you're playing with.
Yeah, but the game looks decent, so
yeah.
It's definitely going to be on my buy list. I'm not going to buy it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all I have from Microsoft. You got anything?
No, I pretty much just had hardware for them.
Okay. I got Ubisoft.
Oh, Ubisoft, yes.
I'll let Chris start off with this one.
Well, besides them putting out Star Trek Bridge Crew, you know, Tom Clancy Games, Jason XU, I heard there's Ghost Recon.
Wildlands!
Yeah, you know, personally, I'll take a pass on that, but, you know.
I've always had a good, with Rainbow Six, I've loved Rainbow Six.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed Rainbow Six Vegas, too.
Yeah, and I used to play back, just going back to my college years of playing, just, you know, going in, sneakily going through, and wiping out all of the enemies without them knowing. Because as soon as they found you, you're pretty much going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless
I mean,
you took out enough of them.
I mean, there was me, you know, Miss I Hate Shooting. I suck at first-person shooter games. Well, the people I was playing with, we had a system. They would find me spots. You stay in that spot, and you snipe till it's clear. When it's clear, you're going to this next spot, and you're going to snipe until it's clear. And that is what we did, but then we started playing with other people online, and I would, like, start, you know, saying things I shouldn't say, because people kept standing in my spot.
Well, my biggest problem with people playing with people online is they try to rush it. So, some people would just not care, and they would just go rush in, get killed, just kill everybody. Because
yes.
Once the terrorists knew you were there, you're screwed.
First rule, stay out of my spot. Second rule, give me time to get to my spot. Once we do that, we'd be all right. We'd be OBKB.
Yeah.
And with April, that's not just a rule for games, that's a rule for real life. Don't get in her spot and let her, you know, wait till she gets there.
You act like I'm Sheldon Cooper or something.
No, not at all.
Since we're on Ghost Recon, I'll talk about some of the perks that I liked about it.
Okay.
Open world. Certain area, it seemed pretty open, like massive area open
mm-hmm.
world. Like, you're going to go in, you're going to fight, you're going to take this guy out. Bad guy takes off in a vehicle. This is the little demo they previewed. So you go in, silently trying to take out as many people stealthily possible. You have this little drone. You can kind of, like, go around figuring out and marking everybody and the locations of all the enemies in there. So you can at least get an idea of where they're at. And then you go in and silently take out as many people as possible. Go in for the big guy. And of course, they failed to take him out right there and then. So he takes off in his truck. So it turns into a high-speed chase.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just driving down the road as fast as possible, trying to catch this guy. Meanwhile, like far back at the base, all the tourists are getting in their trucks, following them. And then so they have to quickly take out the guy. Meanwhile, like the rest of the people are just driving off. It's just like a crazy car chase, like shooting up the crap out of the truck, trying to get it to stop. And eventually, they waylaid it into a side like column of concrete or something, and then the truck smashes, and they get him, arrest him, get him in the helicopter, and take off just as the guys are there shooting at him. So, the preview looks pretty fantastic. I'm pretty sure it was more of a mock-up. I don't know how the online gameplay is going to be for this, because.
Okay.
You know, I imagine most people will be better at it or worse at it. So I would hate to spend so much time trying to silently go through, take out everybody, and then just have some Artar just start, like, shooting everybody. I can shoot this guy. And then all of a sudden, all the freaking terrorists are on you. It's just like, no, welcome to, yeah, Rainbow Search all over again. So, and the release date on that is March 7th of next year.
Oh, boy.
So, it'll be a while.
Watch Dogs 2, I know it's really, a lot of video coming out about Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah, I should like it, because I really like hacker genre stuff, but, I never played Watch Dogs, the first one.
Really?
So, I have it, it's on my list and of games I own, but I have yet to play it. It looks pretty good. Yeah, my big list of games. So, but, yeah, it looks good for a sequel, though I'm going to wait for the price drop on this game.
Of course, yeah.
So, you always do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've seen some playthrough of the original. I mean, it's different. I mean, you're actually using more of the environment to try to, you know, waylay or incapacitate the opponents. So.
Yeah, locking doors so the enemies can't get into the room with you, that seems like a viable... Like, it does seem like you can take more of an advanced strategy on things to try to take out the target, acquire, you know, whatever it is you're trying to acquire data-wise. And
they're making you think as opposed to just bust in, shoot them up, and all that, you know.
It's another Rainbow Six Siege game, or not Siege, but just Rainbow Six game where you're trying to silently go through and clear out.
Alright, well, besides the fact that Ubisoft did not release any information that I heard of about it.
Watch Dogs 2's release date is November 15th.
November 15th, yes. I didn't hear anything about a Assassin's Creed release, but and I was surprised because considering the movie's coming out this coming December with Michael Fassbender,
you would have thought they would have also tied a video game with it.
So, but yeah, for whatever reason, once I heard this from Ubisoft, I was completely—I almost lost focus of E3. South Park: The Fractured Butthole.
Piss Brian.
Yes. Let us know. Quite frankly, it is a sequel to South Park: The Stick of the Truth, whereas in this time around, instead of being in a fantasy medieval type world, they're doing superheroes. If you have a chance, look up the official trailer on YouTube or whatever service you have. If you're a fan of the Marvel movies and stuff like that, or, you know, any of the superhero movies, you will get a good laugh out of that trailer, because I know I've watched it a couple times and I keep chuckling each time I watch it.
It was hilarious.
It's ridiculous in its stupidity, because it's too truthful. It's like, yep, that's exactly it. I know I've got, you know, they are improving the combat, which the combat was fine with that game, and I was, you know, quite happy with that. So I'm enjoying the fact that there is improved combat. And, of course, again, they're doing superheroes, so that will look interesting. I never really did see a lot of the superhero episodes of South Park, but it might make me have to watch those again. I know that right now, if you pre-order this game, you get Stick of Truth for free. It is going to be released for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Release date on it is December the 6th, so, hey, Christmas gift ideas. Woohoo! What? I didn't say it was a great Christmas gift idea.
You said I was getting you a Christmas gift.
I didn't say you were going to give me a Christmas gift. You know, just when, you know, family members or, you know, people that like us.
Anybody listening.
Anybody listening that likes us, hey, you know what? Christmas will be right around the corner, and that comes out about 3 weeks ahead of time. Well, that was about the last I caught from Ubisoft. Did you catch anything else?
I have nothing else for Ubisoft.
What else you got, Jason?
Next on the list, I have Sony.
Oh, boy.
Well, we've already covered the Neo.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch a trailer for Days Gone. Open world action adventure looks okay, but I'm going to keep to my Fallout 4. So, I'm probably not going to be too interested in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
I know a friend of mine in April's actual co-worker had mentioned something about Sony remastering the first three Crash Bandicoot games.
Crash, Crash 2, and Crash Warped.
Go Jasmine.
Yes, our friend Jasmine was actually kind of happy about that, apparently. Mm. So, you know, I'm okay for remastered. And, I mean, Crash Bandicoot really is one that really came out I think it was PS2 was the original release on that.
There's going to be some good feelings about
that. Oh, yeah, definitely good feelings. So, You know, honestly, it's been ages since I really paid attention to Sony, so did you have anything else from Sony, Jason?
Wow. Maybe I did. God of War 4.
Ooh. Oh.
Kratos, I don't know, spoiler alert, is probably going to get killed off is what I hear, so if you guys are familiar with God of War, so he's the main.
Yeah, he's the main character, so what are you going to do with the kill off the main character?
Oh, I know.
Well, he's got a kid.
He's got a kid, yes.
Oh, good grief. Yeah, he's a guy. Oh, even... they're all porn dogs.
Oh, even better yet, April, I did catch one thing. They're going... What was the original theme? Was that more like... I'm trying to remember.
I was thinking Underworld 9, Hell's kind of...
Like Greek, you know, like Greek. Greek
yeah, and you're talking about Greek.
They're going Nordic. They're going Nordic.
Like Thor and Odin.
Very. That's all I caught was just Nordic themed. So
I watched the trailer.
Please.
Oh well. I did not catch a date, but let me see if I do find out something about that.
I do not have a date actually listed for that right now.
That stinks. Well, let me know. I want that one. I know me wanting a game, right?
Yeah, because, like, right now, you can buy all the first three, like, really cheap. So, if you're really interested in getting, like, the older ones, yeah, totally just buy the three-pack of all of them and go back and experience
the fun. Okay, don't we have them all?
Yeah, I got the three.
Might have to revisit those, because I've never really... I've only ever watched people play them. I need to start playing them.
Yeah. Yeah,
I used to hang out with people that didn't want to share, so... Oh. I always got to watch... Always a watcher, never a player.
Yeah. Well, when you get that date, let me know. I'm going to move on to Resident Evil 7.
At this point, I actually do not see anything.
Yeah, that's maybe why I don't have a date on here, is maybe they didn't actually let us know yet.
All I know is on their lead site, well, yeah, that kid.
The kid.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah, the son looks a little...
Yeah. It reminds me of the kid from the show American Gothic.
That's not a good... Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably not a good picture, but yeah. So, yeah, that's more than likely going to be a 2017 release.
Come on, designers,
release.
Make that look nice.
Come on!
Anyways, Resident Evil 7 is also on the list for all those people who love Resident Evil, which I'm okay with. I do like Resident Evil, but did you just boo?
No.
Okay.
I like Resident Evil.
Good. The trailer was good. You can get a preview demo of the game right now if you go download it. It's going to be for Xbox One, PS4, and PC, so it's not going to be on the PS3 or the Xbox 360, so, oh, boo you, they're just forcing people to buy the new consoles, which is good, because, you know, people need to buy newer things. It uses the new RE engine, which is the new Resident Evil engine, so, RE. It's going to be compatible with the PSVR. And this game was what was also part of the visual sickness that was giving people issues because of the frame rates. So I hope that they're going to increase it. And it sounded like they're probably going to try to get the frame rates increased by the time this game actually comes out. So
we can only hope.
Yeah, January 24th, 2017. So they got a little bit of time, but 6 months, they can tweak it a little. The only other game that I have for Sony that they mentioned was a Spider-Man game. Yes.
Yeah, all I heard was it's in development, it's being worked on by Insomniac Games. Yep. So
they just had a little preview trailer, that's pretty much all I got to see, it was just the trailer. So, but, you know, it's a Spider-Man game. It was kind of funny, like the narrating and all that, it was just flying through the city and all that. So, looked like another Spider-Man game. Don't know if it's even open world, because it kind of looked like it, but maybe.
Who will know?
Yeah, we won't know until it's actually out. So, that's the last thing I have for Sony. And then, last thing that I have is Nintendo. Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yes.
The only game that I saw, too, for them. So, they have mentioned a couple other ones, like Pokemon, new Pokemon game. I don't even remember what its name is, like Gold and Blue or something.
Yeah.
Pick a color. Here you go. Pokemon.
Yeah.
So, Zelda, lots of open world areas, which seem pretty engaging.
You know what I actually heard was that it is 12 times, the open world is 12 times bigger than Twilight Princess.
Ooh, okay.
And you know what, it's kind of sad, I've not played a Zelda game since Wind Waker. I used to love those games. I remember having the gold edition of Zelda 2 way back in the NES days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how I got into Zelda. That's why most people who play Zelda probably play, is because they remember back on those gold cartridges.
Mm-hmm. And I just, I mean, I still haven't gotten over the fact that it's cel-shaded now. I mean, I don't know, I'm just not the biggest fan.
I actually don't mind cel-shading. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's probably more of a consensus of people who like, you know, with whether they like it or don't like it.
Right.
But I think it adds to the game because I love Borderlands. And
true.
Yeah.
Now, I know I saw something about 2017. Did you hear a specific release date for it?
I actually do not have a release date for it. So,
yeah, so I just... So, 2017.
Yeah, I just... next year. Release M3 and Wii U next year.
Gotcha.
So, I saw that you... Also engaging, you could jump, do a bunch of other crap that you couldn't do before, pick up crap. Oh, yeah, and then you can actually jump almost to the end, depending on how good of a player you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pretty much skip the rest of the content if you really want to, like, not power yourself up and do all the other crap, and you really feel like you can manage it. You can jump straight to the end game.
Oh,
so,
that's no fun.
But you learn more of the story outline arc, you know, if you play the game, so, yeah. The other thing to note, it looked like the gear, you get different gear, and it actually had defensive scores from the screenshots I saw, so... they also mentioned in one of the videos something about him having to change out his gear because he's cold. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing there's climate gear and all that kind of stuff. So that's all I've got for E3. So
yeah, the only other side notes that I have, and I mean I'll just breeze over these. Civilization 6 coming out for the PC October 21st. I never played much with Civ 5 because, well, quite frankly, my computer can't handle Civ 5. So. I've always been a Civ fan. I'd be curious to see what they do for 6, but, you know, at this point, I'm not too geeked on it. Injustice 2, surprisingly, I saw that release come out just pre-E3, which it's coming out with a 2017 date, nothing specific, PS4, Xbox One, and the biggest thing that I saw was they're adding a gear system, so you're going to get item drops basically after any combat, win or lose. It's supposed to make aesthetic changes, actual changes to your stats. I'm gonna be keeping an eye on this just because, I mean, it looks semi-interesting.
Well, it sounds like didn't you say something about power armor?
Yeah, it looks like battle armor. That's what actually the gear sets are going to be. It's like the little pieces actually almost make you have like a battle armor. You've got like a base skin, but then you add the items and then it starts looking like you're wearing freaking armor.
Do you think any of them will be Iron Man?
I hope to. Yeah, I would love to see that one, but you know what? Who's going to be closest to do that? Batman.
Yeah.
Out of the 6 characters they showed, you know, you got Batman, Superman returning, Aquaman returning. People that they added in, Atrocitus, which was a red...
Wait, Aquaman's going to be in this?
He was in the first one.
So he's going to be super powerful?
Yeah, he is.
Is his armor going to look like fish?
I hope not, but probably.
It's going to have gills.
You got Atrocitus, which is a red lantern. You have Supergirl and... adding into it, which actually looks like the current television version.
Ooh.
And Gorilla Grodd, which I saw some combat with him, some gameplay, and yeah, he looks nasty, especially with his mind control, so that should be fun. Right now, just a 2017 release, and the only other thing I think we might have missed over from Sony, a game called Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, I saw it, but it didn't catch my fancy, so I didn't want to talk about it.
Quite frankly, quick thing, it looks like Far Cry. If everyone was taken over by the machines from the Matrix, it's like Far Cry, but all the most of the animals and stuff like that are mechanical. So I don't know.
Sweet.
I might look into it. It's a PS4 released February 28th, 2017 is its current release date.
Oh, okay, so it's not too
far. You got some time on it. So that whole nugget of info was all E3 that we caught that caught our interest. So. Let's go on to a little bit of a lighter topic. April has our top 5 list for the week. April, what do you got for us this week? And unlike last week, I promise that this week I will not interrupt you in the middle of everything.
You may not have much to say this week.
We'll see about that. What you got, April?
Okay, this is actually going to tie into our group conversation for the night.
Okay.
Tonight is April's top 5 favorite things about Renaissance fairs. Okay, so for those who know me well, know that I have been involved with Renaissance fairs since 2001. Started off my first year as an entertainer as a wandering minstrel at the Silverleaf Renaissance Fair dating myself because they are no longer in existence.
Where was that out of?
That was out of Galesburg, Michigan, just past Kalamazoo.
Hmm.
And I did that for many years. Actually, the 2002, I joined the International Wenches Guild. Still am a member. Go Locale 57, wenches of all flavors. Anyways, I also was an entertainer for Mayfair in Marshall, Michigan. I have ran booths for friends that I've met over the years at Ren Fairs. I've pretty much done it all, but my Wenches Guild, don't worry, made it on the list. So anyways, so having done Ren Fairs for 15 years, this is my top five things that I love about Renaissance Fairs. Number five, participating with the Wenches Guild. The Wenches Guild wasn't there just to be wenches. We actually did work for charity.
Hmm.
We did something called Duncha Wench Soak a Bloke, that any money paid towards this event was donated to the Susan B. Komen Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
Very nice.
What that entails is it was best on a very nice hot day. You get all the wenches sitting on benches.
You're probably, you didn't know it.
And we all wear really bright lipstick. We all try to get different colors, so we know we each had our signature colors. Mm-hmm. Kind of like part of our persona was we each had our own flavor. I was the hard cider Guinness wench. And people would come up to the wench that was in charge of the wet sponges in the bucket. For a dollar, you could get three sponges, and, you know, any other donation, you got more.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to throw them at us. And any wenches that you hit with these sponges came up and kissed you somewhere on your face, your arm. We had to keep it PG-13, you know, because Renaissance fairs are family fairs, not family-making fairs.
Wait, you said family affairs?
Family
affairs. Oh, man.
And then the blokes, mm-hmm, would get their turn afterwards, to where we could throw sponges at them, and they would come up and kiss you on the face, kiss you on the hand. Last couple years at Mayfair, though, some of the blokes got a little creative and started stealing our lipstick. And then we also did what was called wench walks,
mm-hmm,
which we each learned a little section of this song, and we would get in a group, and we would walk through the fair singing the song, doing the different verses, mm-hmm, and we would find our victim. We had a little pillow that they kneeled on, put their hands behind their backs, because we are the wenches, we touch them, they do not touch us.
Sounds like a strip club.
And then we each got in line. Usually somebody volunteered them, like a wife or a, mm-hmm, girlfriend.
Yeah,
I'd hope.
And we'd each take turns, we'd get in a line and walk up and kiss him on each side of his face, so we'd get wench pox all over his face. And that was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. So that is why it is number five, because even though some of these go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1... each moment is near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
So that being said, number four is the jousting. Ever since, like, my third or fourth year, I wanted to learn to joust because I enjoyed watching it so much.
Mm-hmm.
For quite a few years, I knew all the rules of jousting. Since forgotten some of them, since, you know, I'm not as affiliated as I used to be. But one year, they even had the jousting troop there that was on the jousting reality show they had on TV, where people were actually trying to joust to win. Yeah.
I remember that show.
Yeah. They were one of the jousting troops at one of the run fairs I've been to. They were very good.
Hmm.
I'm actually friends with someone who used to do a lot of the emceeing for the joust at different run fairs. Very good friend of mine, DJ. Though I don't know what's happened to him these days. Number three. I've made some pretty interesting friends thanks to this number three here. The comedy shows. A few that stood out in my mind was Rogue Blades, the Tortuga Twins, and even Hob the Troll. This is, you know, groups that are well, some of the groups will go countrywide,
mm-hmm,
like the Tortuga Twins. I've seen them listed on run fairs all over the country. I've seen them at Murph.
Mm-hmm.
But the other ones, I've seen them more local, but I know at least the Rogue Blades traveled a little ways.
Yeah, I've seen the Rogue Blades at a couple places, yeah, where we've gone to.
They're awesome. Mm-hmm. On and off the stage, they are awesome people. They are hilarious. I mean, one year I got heat exhaustion. They let me hang out behind backstage, like, all day. Mm-hmm. And I even got to be an impromptu extra in one of their skits at the end of the day. It was fun.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. And Hob the Troll is a special little treat because he likes to venture out to MRF, Michigan Run Fair, over in Holly. One year my mom took her Sheltie, Laddie. You could give or take other animals, but he was okay with people, kind of thing. But my mom had him on a leash. She stopped, looked away for a minute. She looks back. Next thing she knows, she sees Hob the Troll sniff Laddie's butt. So then in turn, Laddie sniffs Hob the Troll's butt. And it was just a grand little skit. I wish I could have had that recorded. But it's just stuff like that that really makes me, you know, because everybody is so good at improv and just being in the moment that it's never the same thing twice.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how ridiculous the last show of the last day of that entire season for that fair is. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. The things I've seen and the things I've heard. Number two for me is the music. For those who know me well, know I am very eclectic in my taste in music. I can range from everything from classical to very, very little rap to bluegrass to freaking gypsy music. It just kind of depends on my mood. And it's actually thanks to Renaissance fairs that I discovered the band Blackmore's Night. Mm-hmm. Because they were handing out little sample cassette tapes. Yes, cassette tapes. I just dated myself. You know, it'd have two songs on one side, two songs on the other side, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
That is how I discovered Blackmore's Night. Now I'm a huge fan. And another one that you can see that's actually a bigger name is Emerald Rose. But I've heard rumor that Blackmore's Night actually performs at the New York Renaissance Fair. Ooh. So, they're out there. You just gotta go and find them. Number one, for me, the best thing about Renaissance fairs, wearing the Ren garb. There is nothing like getting laced up in a corset at 9:30 in the morning when you're rushing to make cannon. And then rushing to your tent at last cannon to get that sucker untied. Yeah. But there are various types. You can go pirate, you can go noble, you can go peasant, wench, whatever. I mean, you should see Day of Wrong costumes. My friend once wanted to make a Girl Scout Day of Wrong wench's costume.
Oh, jeez.
Because she could get the material. That's just the kind of creativity people can have when it comes to their garb. Mm-hmm. You get people that dress like Queen Elizabeth. You get people that dress like King Henry. I mean, anything goes. I've seen Vikings. I've seen pirates. Heck, I even seen a Native American at Silverleaf one time. Just because. Didn't get a chance to find out why. Just because.
Well, the Star Trek people.
That's only on... Oh. I would much rather walk around with a sonic screwdriver.
I guess that would probably make more sense, wouldn't it?
It would. Yeah. You'd at least fit in. But that is my top five reasons why I think... why I enjoy Renaissance fairs and why I think everyone should go to one at least once.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, a lot of your choices, yeah. You know, okay, yeah, I won't know how it is to be in a wench's guild, but jousting, definitely a high point.
There's a rogue's guild.
Oh, yeah.
That was usually who participated in Soka Bloke, was the rogue's guild.
Oh, yeah. Could we see me as a rogue? Maybe.
Yeah. From what I've seen as a rogue, yeah.
Yeah. Jousting, yeah. Jousting, I always, if I go to a run fest, I have to see the jousting, because, I mean, it's just, it's good. I mean, I like jousting. Comedy shows, I know one from MRF that you missed that I've, almost every time I go, I have to see it, the Dead Bob show.
I was actually one of his victims.
Bob Zombies?
I was one of his Bob Zombies one time on one of his shows.
You've been bobbletized!
When Silverleaf moved from where they were at River Oaks to Kimball Pines and Battle Creek, Dead Bob was there. Awesome. I learned a few things about Dead Bob. First of all, he likes cleavage.
Yes, he does.
Dead Bob made me bow. I had cleavage up to here, and he made me take a bow.
Yep.
Dirty man.
Oh, very dirty man.
Another thing I found out is there is quite a few Dead Bobs.
Mm.
They train all these Dead Bobs to go around to different fairs. There is not just one Dead Bob.
Aww.
No, no, they're all good. They all learn the same shows. Well, yeah.
I've definitely seen at least three Dead Bob shows, and I mean...
That's why everyone's always going to be different, unless mm-hmm. you go to the same Dead Bob that does a certain circuit.
Exactly. And I mean, if you've if you get to a Ren Fest, if Dead Bob is on the program... Dead Bob is hilarious, because the guy... You know, it's a ventriloquist show, and the guy that's actually the ventriloquist is wearing, like, what would you call it, a plague outfit?
Kind of like a plague mask. Yeah, plague, so you can't really see his face. All you see is Dead Bob.
Yeah, and he's a skeleton.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... It
think
is,
Ahmed only run fair.
It's funny as hell. So, I mean, that... The music, yes, music is awesome. I love... I mean, Renaissance Fair music is good. You can hear it almost all the time. Somebody's playing something. It's also good.
That's how I met my dearest friend in the whole world, Lori Lang, as she was playing in a Celtic band at Silverleaf called Lori's Fault, which has since turned into Belfast Gin. And what she heard me sing a song that their band sang in 2001, and we've been friends ever since.
Lutist, didn't she? She played the lute, or...?
No, she's the singer.
Singer, okay. And then the Rengar... Not my kind of garb, but, you know, I've contemplated it. The, you know, of course, if I were to throw something in, it'd probably be looking at the medieval weaponry. I've always wanted to get a medieval weapon, but...
Maybe. I know what Jason would throw in.
What would
turkey
you
legs.
Oh, yeah.
I know they're called dragon legs. You mean they're not dragons?
Yeah.
I've never taken him to a Ren Fair where there wasn't a turkey leg in his hand.
I love Ren Fairs because I can wear the fluffy outfit because it's so cool.
Honey, I always steal your fluffy outfits. So you
no,
don't
not always.
Well, I'm telling you, his pirate outfit came in handy for Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yeah. Yarr. Well, while we're on the subject of, you know, Renaissance festivals and stuff like that, altogether, we are going to go ahead and discuss, since tomorrow is the summer solstice, also known as the first day of summer. Yay! Longest day of sunlight for the year, so...
Wait, why are we cheering that? We should be, like, sad, because that means it's just going to get shorter and shorter and shorter.
Because my favorite season is coming up, and my favorite holiday is
true.
Coming up.
Yep. Summer is upon us, so...
Did you say summer or Samhain?
Summer is upon.
Samhain is Halloween. Stop it.
Oh, my bad.
Summer is upon us, so we are going to discuss things that... What would you say this best April?
Things... to do this summer to completely geek it out.
All right. What do you got, Jason? Do you get stuff that you like to geek out during the summer?
I like disc golfing, but I don't know how geeky that falls under. I think it's more of like physical activity.
Well, it's still geeky because, all right, remember it this way. The local radio DJs, they consider nerding out about something as something that you are... really involved with, really obsessed with, but you can't always talk about it to other people.
Oh, well then I'll talk to you about disc golfing.
All right.
But you've done disc golfing with
me. Oh, listen. So. Not well, but I play.
Well, I'm not a pro either by any means, because you got to have pretty good upper body strength to actually throw that disc.
Although when it comes to the bluff skill, I have a good bluff check because I have a set of discs.
Yeah, and I've got like a crazy ton of discs in the back of my car. So, yeah, I don't know. There's different types of discs with different curves, different angles.
I would say we could go into more detail. What else do we do? Pickleball.
Oh, yeah, we play pickleball. Yeah, I'll save the details. And
we'll go into more detail about some maybe next podcast.
Yeah, I can get you the terminology for all this. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, pickleball.
So you like your outdoor activities that you like to geek out on that you can't really talk about to other people. In general.
Sure.
Yeah, how's that okra doing?
It's growing.
Geeking out of gardening.
Start. Yeah, I don't know. That's something I want to talk about.
All right, Chris, what did you come up with?
Well, my thing for the summer is I consider, like, we just had E3 this week, and this was also Origins, which is the big board gaming convention that's out in Columbus, Ohio. The summer is big for conventions. I mean, yes, conventions are going on all year round. But really, the summer, they just blow up. And especially...
Because we live where we live, it's easier to get to them.
It is, yeah. Considering we're in the Midwest, anytime in the summer when it's not, you're not finding road construction, which, since April and I are from Michigan, you only have two seasons in Michigan. Winter and road construction.
That's in Detroit. In the rest of Michigan, we have... three seasons, almost winter, and road destruction.
So yes, right now is a big convention season, and You know, I look at, you know, when I think conventions, I think of, you know, quite a lot of them. I know there's tons of them. You could probably not go a weekend without finding a convention. But, you know, I'll hit a couple of ones that are, you know, close to what I like, or, you know, big ones that are out there. Coming up soon, San Diego Comic-Con. Big one. You always see videos coming out about the big panels they have with the big studios. You have, you know, like the TV shows and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's heavily reported.
It is very heavily reported. And that... that's going to be later next month in July, so that's 21st to 24th. So, you know, that's usually when you see these big trailers coming out for movies or projects that are about to be worked on. Wizard World. That one's a bit different because that's like almost a conglomeration of Wizards? Conventions.
Oh.
No, not a No, that would be Magical World of Harry Potter stuff. No.
Oh, my bad.
Wizard World is a big set of conventions, and I know the most recent one they're about to have is in Columbus, 29th July, and you know, it's very similar to Motor City Comic Con for us, just a little beefier. And they've got Columbus, Ohio in July, Chicago in August, Virginia, Austin, Texas. I mean, they get around. So, I mean, there's just four of them that are happening this summer. The one that is nearest and dearest to me convention-wise is Gen Con. Yes, board gaming, tabletop gaming, True Dungeons.
Role-playing,
motherfuckers, yes. 49th year of Gen Con this year. Probably about the 10th year, I think, being in Indianapolis, which 2.5-hour drive from us.
So what you're saying is next year would be the year to go for its 50th.
Next year is the year to go. Although, personally, as a recent attendee 4 years ago, you need to get a hotel. You need to get like 8 people trying to get it all at once because they changed the hotel getting system and it needs help. But
that's why you use my hotel getting system.
Oh, it's even worse, April. You have no clue, but hopefully...
well, we can just drive it.
You need to watch before you speak.
We will see. So... Next year would be a great year to go, 50th anniversary. This year it happens the first week of August, the 4th through the 7th. PAX Prime, or PAX West as they're calling it now.
Yeah.
You know, the big video gaming convention that's going to be out West Coast. I think that's Seattle, Washington, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Labor Day weekend, 2nd through the 5th of September. You know, that's mostly, it's basically Gen Con, but mostly focused on video games as opposed to board gaming kind of stuff. And then the last one, same weekend, Dragon Con. That one I plan to go to sometime in the near future because it's Labor Day weekend. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be stressful and whatnot with the travel. And yes, it's Atlanta, Georgia, but it's huge. I would say it's East Coast San Diego Comic Con. So
you're saying that I should bring my suit of armor with fire immunity? Is that what you're saying?
No, Jason. Nothing like that. And, I mean, I would love to go this year. I just looked at some of the names that were prominent. Jim Butcher, favorite author. Charlie Cox, Daredevil. Brett Dalton, who's Grant Ward on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ooh, yeah.
Carlos Valdez, who is Cisco on The Flash. You know, my favorite show right now. And a favorite of April's, Jason Isaacs, is actually at Dragon Con this year. Better known as Lucius Malfoy, Harry Potter series, yes.
Lucius Malfoy, and the Rat Bastard from The Patriot.
Yes, the Rat Bastard from The Patriot. So, you know, conventions, big time of the years right now, so if you have a chance, you know, there are smaller conventions. Support your local convention if you have a chance, because you know what? There are people too. And if, you know, if you get to one where there's somebody that you really want to go see, embrace it and enjoy it and just have fun. I mean, if you go back to last podcast where we were talking about our experiences at the Motor City Comic Con, you know, it's an experience that you will not forget very quickly at all.
It is flipping fantastic.
It is flipping fantastic.
Better than I thought it would be, and I hate waiting, I hate lines, and I hate artards in lines. And I was okay.
Yeah. April, what do you got?
Well, keeping in theme with my top five for the night, you'll see why I did my top five the way I did, but I kept it mostly centrally located Midwest area-ish where I have been known to venture. But I am going to have Jason post on the website a link to where you can find pretty much any Ren Faire in the country. Mm-hmm. Although, check the website first because I found a couple that weren't up to date. So if you want to, if you're like me and you're obsessed with Renaissance fairs, starting July 9th through August 7th in Augusta, Michigan is the Black Rock Medieval Fest. This venue has many events throughout the year. It has the Medieval Fest, it has Steam Dream Expo, it has Frontier Days, it has Buccaneer Bash, it even has a Made in Michigan thing where they bring all kinds of vendors from Michigan to sell their stuff.
Cheers.
And it has a Halloween, they do like a Haunted Hollow, they do a Christmas thing. I mean, they're even doing Easter egg hunt for kids, so there's all kinds of things that go on in this place throughout the year, and I've only ever been able to go to Black Rock, but it's great.
So they have a ye old Faygo vendor?
Woo!
Faygo's a local pop. Yeah. We
Verners.
Love that.
Verners. I'm looking for the Verners. And then there is one that I haven't been to in many years, but I have been to. July 9th through September 5th in Kenosha, Wisconsin is the Bristol Renaissance Fair. Very big. Very huge. Almost, if not the same size as the Michigan Ren Faire. When you get to different regions, like, say, for me with the Wenches Guild, mm-hmm. when you go to different areas, like, we're, like, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio type.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about Ohio, but we're, like, our own little area. Mm-hmm. Well, the Wisconsin Wenches are a different chapter, but if you show up showing something, your pin, your card, mm-hmm. that shows you're with another chapter of the Wenches Guild, they will let you play with them.
Play with them.
You hang out in their hostel. Like when I went, they noticed that I was from Locale 57, mm-hmm. so they let me hang out with them for the day. And let me tell you, my friends were very mad at me. I got to hang out in their hostel. Their hostel had like a balcony because we were up a level. And as the parade went by, we got to throw roses at the queen. Mm-hmm. I got to select one of the verses of the song that hadn't been taken yet and do a wench walk with them. It was a fun time. Bristol's huge. I got my first set of horns there, Grinkins. I've heard they've changed their name, but they're still a really quality place if you want good horns. And they had the live-action chess game. I don't know if they still do or not. There's a couple fairs that have stopped doing it, and it's been so long since I've gone that I'm not certain which ones have and which ones haven't. But I was there when I went last, and it was very entertaining.
Okay.
And, again, that one is July 9th through September 5th. All weekends, 10 to 7. Whereas Black Rock is all weekends, July 9th to the 7th, but they are 10 to 6. If you don't mind traveling a little bit farther, I've actually been to this one as well. In Rock Creek, Ohio, is the Great Lakes Medieval Fair and Marketplace, going on July 9th through August 14th from 11 to 7. This one's a bit of a drive because you have to go almost to Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
But I went with my friends Larissa and James and Melissa once upon a time. No, I can't really remember much of the fair itself. I remember it was a good time. It was a very well-done fair.
Mm-hmm.
And worth checking out if you have a day.
Okay.
Again, those are July 9th through August 14th from 11 to 7. Here's one that I've never been to. It is very hard to get into because you have to pre-register and sign up. And it costs more if you are not a member of the SCA. But I've talked to many people about it over the years. And that is the Penzig Wars in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
It's like a week-long thing. They have classes, they have combat, they have marketplace, they have parties every night.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a family thing, so obviously the parties have to be to a certain degree.
Right.
But, yeah, week-long. This year, Penzig Wars is running from July 29th to August 14th. I am going to put a website link on there so people who have signed up to go can check for their last minute information. And that one goes on in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania.
Now, what does the SCA stand for?
The Society for Creative Anachronism.
Try saying that 5 times fast.
But yeah, SCA events, usually how it works is if you are an SCA member, you get in for a certain rate.
Okay.
If you are non, like Swine and Roses at Notre Dame, non-SCA member, you pay more to get in, but it's pretty much just a Renaissance fair.
Okay.
I went to Val Day up in Kalamazoo once, and
mm-hmm.
meh. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm okay with the SCA. I would just never join because I don't have the time, the money, or the patience to have everything be up to snuff for period.
Oh, so it has to be period specific, period accurate.
Whew. Not quite Renfair, but if you don't mind traveling over by Detroit to Livonia, Michigan. August 5th and 6th is the St. Andrew Society of Detroit's Highland Games. Friday night is the Kaylee, starting at 5 p.m. and running till 11 p.m. It is a separate fee to get in. But then the actual 167th annual Highland Games is August 6th from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. I haven't been to a Highland Games in years. Let me tell you what, this one is on my list.
No joke, as you were saying that, I almost thought you were about to say the 176th Hunger Games!
Oh, you mean 167th Highland Games!
Yes.
Yeah, buddy. Again, that is August 6th, 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. if you just want to hit the games. The Kaylee is more dancing, music, you know, like a dinner, that kind of thing. I've never really been big into Kaylee's, even though I do love the Celtic dancing, but... work.
Fair enough.
And then next on my plate is the Michigan Pirate Festival in Grand Haven, Michigan, August 13th through 14th from 10 to 6. This year's theme is Pirates Through the Ages, so you will see historical pirates, fantasy pirates, pretty much any kind of pirate someone can think of.
So someone could dress up as Star-Lord then?
I don't know if the Brother of the Great Lakes would look too highly upon that, but I guess you could. Alright, the next one is the biggie that I have been to many times, and it is one of my personal favorites, is the Michigan Renaissance Festival in Holly, Michigan.
You bet.
They run all weekends and Labor Day from August 20th through October 2nd, 10 to 7. This year, I'm very excited, because on August 20th and 21st, they have the Royal Pet and Ale Fest.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things you need to know about pet care, pet nutrition, pet safety, anything you can think of, they have information when you go there, and of course, ale.
Yep. And Michigan Renfest is also one of the ones that's the one that I've been to. Like, the three times, always been there.
It's my favorite mainly because you can bring a dog.
Yep.
In the past, it's been you paid the same fee for your dog as you did your ticket, and you have to show your vaccinations, but you can bring your dog.
Exactly. And, I mean, it's a nice area, and also upside to that is they have themed weekends. You know, that was one themed weekend, but every single weekend is something themed, so, you know, that's a good one to check out.
Yep, and like I said, I'll be posting links to all these websites.
You betcha, yeah.
Another one that's very close to home for us, 20 minutes, is the Michiana Renaissance Festival at Cam Island Park in downtown Mishawaka, Indiana. That one this year is running August 27th and 28th. From 10 to 6. It is a smaller fair, but that, in its defense, it's just starting up. It's only been going a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, I don't know if they're going to do it this year, but in the past it has been, if you donate some canned goods, you get like a $1 or $2 discount off of the cost. But it's worth checking out. I mainly go to see all my friends that I hadn't seen in a year or two. So.
Yeah. And as much as I've lived in this town long enough, I need to get there this year. So that's on my list of things.
Oh, yeah.
And then when it comes to the Ren Fairs, the last one that I have on my list, I've also been to this one with my friend Melissa, is the Ohio Renaissance Fair in Dayton, Ohio. This one's a little bit later in the season. It starts before summer but ends after summer, so I still validated putting it in because it runs from September 3rd to October 23rd. Saturdays, Sundays, and Labor Day, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. I have listed on there the website because, like I said, I've been to so many, it's hard to distinguish what memories from what fair for the most part. But it's worth checking out. It's nice. Good music, good food. A little bit of a drive, depending on where you're coming from. But Dayton has some really nice motels. I think we stayed at a Red Roof Inn.
Yeah.
And decently priced, and it's fun. It's a good time.
It's a trip. It's a nice trip to get away from wherever you're at and go have some fun.
Yeah. But if you're into zombies, I have a couple other treats for those into zombies. This year is another South Bend Zombie Walk.
Great.
This year the date is August 20th, 2016, so invite your friends and save the date. I will keep giving more information as I get it, as I do belong to the Zombie Walk Facebook page, and I told them to keep me updated whenever new information comes to light. So, what it is a Zombie Walk LTD and Nile Scream Park collaborate. Mm-hmm. It used to just be the walk and food drive, but now they kind of make it a little festival because they do, what is it? They have entertainment, Kid Zone, with games and contests, live bands, PWK wrestling, a brain-eating contest, and a Nile Scream Park costume contest, vendors, makeup artists, and so much more. Like, with the makeup artists, you show up, you pay them, like, $5-$10. They'll do your zombie makeup for you. So you don't have to waste with the fuss and the muss and the time.
Yeah, because I know there was somebody even at our convention that had that... You know, that at the convention they were doing the zombie makeup because mm-hmm. I would not have the patience to do something mm-hmm. like that.
I'll talk about him one of these days. Like when Game of Thrones ends, mm-hmm. the season ends, we can talk about him a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, how it works is you bring a non-perishable food item, toiletry, or monetary donations for the food bank, and you're in. You can I think it's you can either be a zombie or a victim. Mm-hmm. We all know zombie. Hi.
Yeah.
I have yet to do it because I'm either working or I got something going on, but I want to go this year.
And now is that like a measured walk? Is it just a...
You just walk through downtown South Bend.
Okay.
So beware of road cones. And also in association with the zombie walk, they're having a zombie prom. September 17th at the State Theater in downtown South Bend is the zombie prom. The tickets will be available to purchase at the zombie walk. It will be $15 or two for $25 in advance, or $20 at the door. The only stipulation is you must be 16 to enter, and I will get more information on that as they do. And again, I will put all these links for everybody on the website so you can access them at your leisure. So on that, we had a little bit of a sad note today that Mr. Chris Scott wants to talk to us about.
Yep. Well, before, as we're preparing our stuff today, I was taking a look at a few things, and unfortunately, you know, us here at Inglourious Geeks are saddened to notice the passing of actor Anton Yelchin, best known currently as his role for his role as Pavel Chekhov in the Star Trek reboots. So, you know, the movie that'll be coming out next month, he will be in posthumously. The kid was 27 years old. I mean, I literally saw this on Facebook and I yelped. I'm like, what?
We ran to see if he hurt himself.
Yeah. And of course I go to two other sites to confirm, you know, real news sites to confirm it. And sadly, I'm like, we were all flabbergasted here in this house. I mean,
still am.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm surprised. I did not know all these roles that he had been in before. I mean, besides 2009's Star Trek and then the ones after that. You know, that same year he was Kyle Reese in Terminator Salvation. He'd been Charlie Bartlett in 07, Alpha Dog in 06, Along Came a Spider. I mean, I would have never noticed that.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, just 27 years old. And I mean, yeah, with, you know, name like Anton Yelchin, I made a little chuckling comment. He was from, you know, his parent, he was born in Leningrad, and I'm like, I like Leningrad because, you know, now, you know, that was pre, you know, Cold War ending and all that. And
yeah, so it's since then been changed. It used to be Leningrad.
Yeah, so it's St. Petersburg now, mm-hmm. but 27 years, you know, he just celebrated his 27th birthday in March, and from the reports that we're hearing, it's just some kind of, you know, freak accident with his car. It just... his car started to roll. He was coming out of the car, it rolled back, and just crushed it, you know, just pinned him and had trauma. So yeah, we were all a little shocked and saddened by that. So
it won't be the same when I hear Wheater.
Yes. April and I were having that little moment where thinking, you know, the first time you really hear him talking, it's like, you know, you've got
some kind of emergency going on the Enterprise.
You've got the captain saying, you know, what's your name, you know.
Oh, no, he was trying to announce what was going on, that's right.
And it's like, you know, saying his name, you know, Chekhov, Pavel Andreyevich, and it's like, you know, do the shipwide announcement, and he's trying to tell the computer his access code, is like 9-5 Victor.
And he gets slower. 9-5 Victor.
Yeah, just it's just that little thing, because I mean you can think of Walter Koenig when he was playing it in the original series and you know having the issues. You know, I always remember Walter Koenig playing Chekhov, Star Trek IV, when they're talking about the nuclear vessels. So, I mean, the kid just played that role really good, and I mean...
I believed it.
Yeah, and we are all sad to hear of his passing, so, I mean, there's already been an outpouring of support for him on all the social media that we've seen from friends, other actors, all of that, and I mean, some of it is actually... It hurts us more reading their messages to him. I mean, Zachary Quinto had put something on there about how he was such an intellectual, always curious, all that. And it was just to have a young life cut so short, and it just, quite frankly, it wants to kick you in your nether regions. And it's such a, it's sad. So, well... You know, as much as we don't want to end on a low point, but we are sad to hear
so
that.
So here's to
Anton
Yelchin.
Yep.
May he Victor forever in heaven. So, until next week, we are the Inglorious Geeks. So sit down, shut up, and roll initiative. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.